Shut Up series. Part two, Shut Up and Pray. Hallelujah. Prayer should be our first response to the things that we don't already have an understanding through His Word. There are many times that we'll be going through life and we don't know what we should say. We don't know what we should do. There are things that we might even lose, and we don't ever think that God wants us to use them. He wants us to look to Him. There was a particular time when I had taken out my credit card, and you know, I got to work on my patience too when I get in line, because sometimes you get behind people and they want to slowly put their money in, and there's a big old line back there. So I'm thinking about myself and I'm thinking about other people behind me and stuff like that. So they'll put their money in and stuff like that. So I get up there, I'll pay, tap it, you know, what have you, put it in my pocket. I wouldn't even put it in my wallet. Get it and let's go. And then sometimes I forget to put my card back in my wallet. Had it in my pants one time. Lost my credit card. Got washed somewhere, what have you. I was like, man, now I gotta cancel it, get another one. Well, it wasn't really, it was just a Cash App card. Well, ended up finding it later after I ordered it, of course. That's usually how it works, right? And then a few days later, I misplaced my wallet. So now there's all those cards and everything in it and stuff, because I don't carry cash, I carry cards. I'm like, all right, I'm looking all over for it. Talk to my wife, have you seen it? Have you misplaced it? Because sometimes she likes to play games. If you just leave it at the same place every single time, does that with my keys. Literally, the other day, where's my keys at? I can't find my truck keys. No, my church keys. Church keys? Both. So I had to take my spare truck keys and my church keys. Looking all over for them. Couldn't find them. Then I got all the way out here to the church. I was trying to retrace my steps. I got out here to the church. Hit me. Babe, check the couch. There's a compartment where you can just slide it back. And then it's right there in the cup holder. She goes, yep, it's right here. But getting back to the wallet situation, I looked all up and down everywhere. In my truck, see if it slid down in between. Nowhere. Came out here, looked for it. Nowhere. Went to certain stores, look for it. Nope, nowhere. 2 o'clock in the morning, I finally get to the place to where I ask the Lord, all right, Lord, please forgive me for not going to you first. Well, will you help me find my wallet? And as soon as I rested my eyes, I knew where it was at. Came out here, it's right there on the stand. I could have saved myself a lot of heartache, a lot of time, a lot of energy, if I just would have went to Him first. And sometimes we don't ever think that God cares about the littlest things in our lives. Not just the little, but the big things. But we don't ever account to go to Him for the little things. Prayer should always be our first response. Lord, what is your insight in this? What are you telling us? What is the best way to go about it? See, he's there for you every step of the way. Prayer is not something that we stand before God and boast about all of our accomplishments and stuff. He's not worried about that. He just wants your heart surrendered to Him. About all the good that we may have done and everything. Prayer is to help you in your everyday life. And James, if you got your Bibles, open up to James 5:13. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I have several translations with throughout, so you can look up here as well. It says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Hardships is something that we all go through. No one is exempt from that. And God wants us to be brave soldiers for Him while we're going through it. When you start getting to the place to where you are saying it's unfair, it's not right, we got to get in line, because many are the afflictions of the righteous. Right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but anybody knows the rest of that? But the Lord will deliver them from all of them. So it doesn't matter what kind of afflictions you're going through. God's promise is to deliver you from it. All the time. He will deliver you from every affliction that you may face every single time. That's Psalms 34:19. That is a promise. And if it's a promise from God, you can take that to the bank. You are made righteous because we believe in him. It's a righteousness, not ours for any, and not anyone else's for that matter. So there's a reason why we put on the whole armor of God. Have y'all been putting on the whole armor every week? I try to put it on Facebook so that everybody can see it and stuff. I actually put it on TikTok. You know what they said? That content was very dangerous to have out there. So it wouldn't display it as often as it would, which is crazy. I'm putting on the full armor and they didn't want me to. So, but it's on there. It's on Facebook. Believers will experience times when they are happy. You know, if you're happy, sing praises. If you don't know how to sing, you can hum. Everybody sounds good when they hum. I don't know what to sing, Lord. Make one up. I make up lyrics all the time. Or if you're going, Tim, that's not the lyrics. You're singing the wrong lyrics. That's all right. Me and TJ, we got it going, man. We're singing the wrong lyrics all the time. But it will help you jumpstart you. It'll help jumpstart you to the place to where you are happy now. And now you're singing to try to not, rather than singing yourself to try to make yourself happy. I said, you get to that place that if you're not happy, you can start singing. You can start praising them. And it will help project you into being happy. God wants you happy. You know, the world will say, do what makes you happy. But God is saying, your happiness comes from within, from me, from him, not from me. From him. I know you can get online and listen to my jokes and stuff, but I can't make you happy. That comes from him, that relationship that you have with him and understanding who you are in Christ. Read the word, confess the word, and believe the word. It will get you to that place of happiness. There's a lot of good scriptures in there that can, just help you out. When your relationship with Jesus is so good and you're so close to each other, you gotta sing. You sing in the showers, you sing while you're cooking, while you're cleaning. You sing while you're mowing. You know, I didn't know this, but sometimes if I'm on that mower, I'll be singing out loud. You can actually hear it on the mower. Like I've heard other people mowing and then them talking and I'm standing out here and I say, I can hear all that. You mean to tell me people have been listening to what I've been saying? I said, okay, I'm over here singing. All right, whatever. And then make sure I'm saying something and singing something good. The next verse, it says, are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. There is nothing to be ashamed about if you have to call the elders. Well, I'm sick. I should have been confessing this. And I said, that's nothing to be ashamed about. Even the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto the forgiveness of sins. It is the power of God unto healing. It is the power of God unto safety and preservation. There's nothing to be ashamed about. God wants to heal you instantly, but that doesn't happen for all people. There's nothing to be ashamed about. You're worried that if people are not going to see you in faith, they're going to think you're in unbelief. Don't worry about that. Jesus took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses and diseases, and by his stripes we were healed. So you never have to feel shamed. You never have to feel guilty. You never have to feel condemned or fearful about coming forth and needing healing in your body. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's why we are here, to pray over you, to get in agreement with you, not to throw stones at you, but to pray the word of God over you. God is the one who heals. It's not the elders' power. It's not the power of the words that they may speak. Jesus is the healer. So everybody in the church can do this. Every church body can do this. Every church that is out there in this city and across this nation, it don't matter the denomination, this is what the word says. Call the elders of the church and they will pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. We just can't allow the denominations to stop you from doing what God's word has clearly told you you can do. It's scriptural. And if you believe in the name of Jesus, it will heal them. Next verse says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. The Amplified Version says, and a prayer of faith will restore the one who was sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. There's nothing scandalous about somebody praying the prayer of faith over anyone. And if they had committed any sin, they will be forgiven. Some people will try to make a scandal out of everything. That's not God's intent. It's not God's intent. Some people just like drama. That's not God's intent. His intent is to restore you, to heal you, to deliver you, to set you free. It doesn't have to be some big news storyline. If you had committed, you will be forgiven. If you have trouble, you have happiness, you have sickness, you know that covers the majority of your life as believers. You have trouble, you will have happiness, you will have sickness. That covers the majority of your life right there, just in those scriptures. We all have trouble at times. There are days that we're happy and days that we're sad. And then we all have to deal with sickness. Every believer will face hardships, but that's why we put on the full armor, so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We pray this every day when you're going through something. You speak this over your life. When you're happy, sing praises unto God. James didn't go out and say, if you're happy, go ahead and light one up. If you're happy, let me kick my feet up in it. Pop one, cold brew. Said, if you're happy, sing. Never misplace what God wants you to do for something else. He says, if you're happy, sing. Why? Because that's you're working inwardly. You're working. God is working something on the inside of you to draw something out of you. But if we constantly yield to the flesh when we're happy, I said, nah, it's going to get to some jacked up stuff. If you're happy. Well, I think I'm just light one up, man. No, he said sing. If I'm happy, I'm going to go play some golf. No, he ain't saying that. He said, if you're happy, sing. Sing while you're playing golf. There's a spiritual connection that you're making there. Will you always be happy? No. You're not always going to be happy. But you're going to have to stir yourself up. You can always rejoice in the Lord. You can get yourself there. Don't be ashamed to have a praise break. In your car, 30 seconds of praise. Don't be ashamed to have a praise break in your home. Don't be ashamed to have a praise break when you're walking down on the street and all of a sudden you do a whoo. Don't be ashamed of that. You could be working and all of a sudden you just give a little dipsy-doo right there, and then what is he happy about? You know, just God just spoke a word to me or what have you. It's like you're happy. That happiness will just spill on other people. You ever get around somebody that they just constantly happen? It's just, man, I needed that. Thank you. That was good. That was refreshing. So if you got 30 seconds throughout your day, and if you think about it, give them a praise break. It don't have to be anything strenuous. It don't have to be anything crazy. Lord, I just thank you. You're so awesome. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Hallelujah. You got to be weird. Sometimes you have to be weird. I try not to be. My kids say I'm weird. Kristen say I'm weird. I just got rhythm. The next verse, verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. It says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has what? Great power and produce wonderful results. Do you want to get results? The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. You're intense with your prayer. The King James Version says the fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. It's to be active, to be mighty in your prayer life. It's a prayer of faith, not doubt, not unbelief, but of faith, meaning you have full and complete trust in Jesus and in his word. We don't pray, Lord, if it be your will, because we know it's God's will to heal. We know it's God's will to restore. We know it's God's will to forgive. We know those things because those are things that were given to us through his salvation, through our salvation. If you don't know whether or not it's God's will to heal, read his word. It's part of your inheritance. God forgives and God heals and God will restore. Psalms 103 says this. This is the Legacy translation. It says, bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not none of his benefits. Who pardons, I like that word, all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with evil things. Come on now. He's a good father with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. See, that's another thing that you can continue to confess and live in it. My youth is renewed like the eagle. Come on. You be out there playing pickleball. Just pop, pop. What is wrong with you? My youth is renewed like the eagle. You're going to need it playing against Vicky. God's will is for you to be healed. It's just the same as God forgives you of your sins. If you can believe that God can forgive you of your sins, you can believe that God has healed you. It requires the same faith to walk it out, to live it out. Same thing. But sometimes we get lost in translation, communication. The world will tell us this. The world will prompt this up, that up, in every which way. But it's the same faith. The same faith that took you to receive Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. The same faith that takes, Lord, will you forgive me of my sin? It's the same faith that can heal you of any crazy disease that is out there. Same faith. No magical dust that you need to sprinkle on yourself. Same faith. And he's given that to each and every believer. The measure of faith that he has given you. It's the same faith. Same faith that it took for the forgiveness of sins. The same faith that it take to heal your marriage. The same faith that it take you heal relationships. It's the same faith that you use. Same. All he needs is for you to trust him. Trust him at his word. It says, confess your sins to each other. Sometimes people don't know what to do because sometimes the church body can talk too much. Listen, I'm all for people who have a gift of gab, but some people have a gift of blab. A gift of gab is a person with confidence and they can talk to anybody else. And I'll also add, it's refreshing to talk to them. You have great conversations, deep conversations. They're knowledgeable about things that you may not know. If it's a gift of gab, it's not really a gift. A gift is a blessing. When it's blabbing everything, that's a curse. That doesn't bless anyone. So if you have a gift, thank God for that gift. Continue to use it. But have that gift, the gab, to be confident in who you are in Christ, be able to talk about certain situations, be able to share what you know about Jesus and about other things in life. You can help somebody. Even the criticism that might come from that can also help those individuals. But when people come in, they don't want to confess nothing to no one. This is why one of the things that we do here is we're connecting you into real relationships. People that actually do have those gifts to help do what? Restore. Because they're mature in the body of Christ. Immature people don't want to restore you. They just want to hurt you. They want to restore you. They want to help you. They want to get you situated. They want to get you back on the right track so that you can continue to fulfill your life with Jesus and walk your walk the way you're supposed to walk it. And sometimes it says to confess your sin to each other. Don't make up a story. Try not to make up a story just to get somebody to say something to you. I don't like that. God doesn't like that, because now we're using manipulation in order to get something, to draw something out of them. And the Holy Spirit will never manipulate you. The Holy Spirit will always love on you, will protect you, will give you the right things to say when you're doing something. That's it. You can. Sometimes we do that in order to sympathize with people, but we don't have to make up a story. Be real about it. Be authentic. That's what people need out there in the world. Well, the church is filled with hypocrites. Yeah, so is the world, but, you know, they still go out there to it. But we want to be authentic. Jesus needs you to be real. Are you with some faults? Yeah. I have faults, believe it or not. She's like, yep. Believe it or not. But he wants you to be real with it. Be authentic. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Holy Spirit, here's the thing, will always be our best teacher. And he'll teach you those things. Let him lead you, because those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 17, it says, Elijah was as a human, as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for how many years? Three and a half. Elijah, same as us. Skin, all that. But he was called to God. He was a prophet. But he made mistakes. He wasn't perfect in every way. He wasn't sinless. But he was called to God. Human just like we are. And yet when he prayed, the fervent prayer of a righteous man, no rain fell on that land for 3.5 years. What can God do through you? And you're in a better covenant. If we can get to the place to not allow the enemy to beat us up, to keep us from doing those things, and, you know, sometimes we don't feel like we're up to par. Sometimes we don't feel like we are truly the children of God. And it'll put so much doubt and unbelief into you that if he can keep you in sin and keep your sin right before you, sin will make you a coward. And you won't pray a mighty prayer. You won't pray a fervent prayer. You won't pray with an intensity. You won't pray in that faith and believing and trusting in God to where you get the results that you're believing the Lord for, if he can keep your sin right in front of you. It wasn't Elijah's power, but it was God's. Elijah was not a Marvel or a DC superhero. He had a sinful nature just like we all do. He needed to pray to God just like we all do. But we have to remain righteous in Jesus, not on our own. And verse 18 says, then when he prayed, the skies sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. When who prayed? Is he any different than you? So when you need rain on the land, farmers, when you need rain on the land, and if you're a believer, come on. You ain't got to do no rain dance. When you need rain on the land, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He did it for Elijah. He could do it through you. We don't have to suggest rain to come. Lord, send it down in the name of Jesus. Because he listens to his children. And don't back off. I told some stories about how, I was driving. Where was I going? I was headed south. I think I was going to Tulsa last year for conference. And it was raining so much through Wichita, like I was getting ready to pull over and just let the storm pass. And I just, wait a minute. I'm going to rebuke this storm. Remember I told you that about that? Yeah. I began that thing just began. And of course, every single time I do it, guess what happens next? It rains harder. It's like, okay, does this really work? So I continued. And that thing just began clearing up before I even got out of Wichita. It started right before I got to Wichita. And by the time I got out, it was clear. Blue skies. I did that coming back from Vegas. Well, they might need rain. Well, rain after I leave. I hate driving in rain. I can't see the lines. If it's dark, I don't like that. Lord, clear the skies up for me, please. And then you can send some rain down. Elijah is no different than me. I'm no different than anyone else. You are all children of God if you've given your life to Jesus. All of you. And your prayers, God hears them. Pray with intensity. Pray with might in your prayers. Pray with power. Like you believe it. You can be confident about some things. You know when you're confident about certain things, it's, oh, I know this is going to work. But then when it gets to your prayer, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, I don't know, Lord, if you're going to do this. We kind of get that way at times. It's like, wait a minute. Come to the throne of grace boldly. Pray with some power. But pray also with humility. It's his power, not yours. It says, then when his children prayed, they received everything they asked for according to the word of God. Rain fell. Righteous people have great power and they produce great results. He prayed and no rain fell on the earth for 3.5 years. You know, a person who can get that kind of results won't have a lot of friends. You know, Elijah didn't have a lot of friends. Imagine that. If you're going everywhere and your prayers are always getting answered, people don't like that. When you're living a godly life, you're going to suffer persecution. People they're not going to like you living a righteous life. They're not. Get used to it. Get used to it. But God loves it because your trust is completely in him. You get results. So when all heck is breaking loose on your block, they know who to turn to. They know who to call. Come on now. When you're at your job and stuff is coming, I say, hey, we know to go to so-and-so over here. Why? Because he's going to have a good word. He's going to help us through. She's going to help us through. We can depend on the word that they have because of their relationship with Jesus. The prayer of a righteous man or person availeth much. Your prayers matter to people. Your relationship with Jesus matters to people. You don't think so. You think it's just you. It's to affect everybody around you. It matters what your relationship with Jesus is. Prayer is a powerful weapon when done right. God didn't intend you to pray and not get results. So if you're not getting results, first things first, are you righteous? You are not righteous for all the good works you do, but you are righteous because you believe in Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are no longer living for yourself. You are living for Jesus. He's the one who died for your sins. He was the one that was raised to life. He was the one that came down from heaven on earth and was seated and has raised us up so that we may be seated with him. He's the one. There's no other entity. There's no other God. There's no other person that did that for you. Jesus did it for you. There is no other name that you could be saved. Jesus is the one who did that for you. We live for him, not for ourselves. For him. God is the one who can transform your spirit. Verse 18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That change happens inward first, and our minds need to be renewed with our instruction manual, with the word of God. Not with TikTok, not with X, or any other social media outlet. It's the word of God. We renew it on a daily basis. Your mind needs it, your spirit needs it, and definitely your flesh needs it. With the word. Verse 19, it says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. What a great word for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Whether you know this or not, everywhere you go, you are repping Jesus. You represent Jesus everywhere you go. You're repping him. And you might be thinking, these people may not know me over here. I can get away with this here. I can get away with that here. But here's the thing. Jesus knows you. Everywhere you go, you're repping him. You're an ambassador for Jesus. Rep him right. You may not do that perfectly, but be bold about it. Don't be ashamed to talk about Jesus where you're at. Don't be ashamed to talk about, I mean, those are some of the greatest conversations I ever had was talking about Jesus. And I love hoops. I love basketball. But I love Jesus more. And those are the best conversations that I ever had. I sat down and talked with an older gentleman before I led him to the Lord. And we were talking about family. We were talking about hoops. And we were talking about Jesus. And that was one of the greatest conversations I ever had with an individual. Because not only was I imparting what Jesus had done for him, but his son got to hear it as well. And his son was maybe in his 50s. Everywhere you go, you rep. You're repping Christ. Everywhere. And you might think, I don't know much about Jesus. Well, these next 21 days, you're going to have the opportunity to know Jesus even better. Because we're doing that 21-day fast. It starts tomorrow. Get closer to God. And your time, whether you got to do a schedule or what have you, I say you make it a point to get closer to God. The church will be opened up from... I'll put the time out on Facebook. So 6 o'clock, Pastor, where you at? Pastor's asleep. No, but I'll put the time on Facebook. But if you wanted to come out, you can come out. We'll have music here. I don't know. I can probably put the coffee on or something like that, what have you. So you can have some. But if you want to do that, if you need to get here earlier before you go to church, I mean, before you go to work, that's fine too. I can be out here. If you got your keys, go ahead and open it up and leave it open. Any robbers want to come in, we're going to get you prayed on. We're going to pray for you. After I wrestle you down. No, I was playing. We rep Jesus 24/7. Verse 21, it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus was sinless. And God made him to be sin. He placed the sin of the world on Jesus, not the sin of the elect, the sin of the world. Some people think Jesus only died for the elect. He died for the sins of the world. And if you need scripture, you can go to 1 John. Because John testifies, as Jesus is walking by, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that was given to him by God, that revelation. And some people think, well, he only died for the elect. No, no. He died for the world. So when the world rejects him and they stand before him and be like, "Well, I didn't know." No, no, no. You knew. You knew. You're not going to be able to get out of that one. Jesus became sin for us. God had placed the blame of our sins on Jesus. No other God, no other person, no other entity has done that. And because you have placed your faith in Jesus, you are now justified in him. Jesus looks at you as just as if you had not ever sinned. Right here, right now. You are justified. So when the enemy wants to beat you up, "I know what you did." Get on out of here, Satan. I'm justified. I am the righteousness of God. You go in prayer with humility, but also with confidence, knowing that God hears your prayers. And you pray a mighty prayer. Whatever your standing in faith is, you pray. Make sure it's according to the word of God, not according to your needs and your own wants and things of that nature. According to his word. We don't do that Kenneth Copeland thing. And when he had talked about where there was a woman that was trying to marry him in the spirit. No, you don't do that. That's weird. That is not God. That is weird. You can't marry somebody who's already married in the spirit and curse that person to die. Leave that place. If it's in a Bible study or what have you. That some people just do some weird stuff. If you never heard that story, I'm pretty sure it's online somewhere. But when you pray, do it with confidence. The fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. You're going to get results. So 21 days of prayer, 21 days of seeking him, 21 day fast. And if the Lord starts slopping things off at it, some people say, "Well, I'm going to just stop eating this. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to do this. I'm going to just do this. And whatever he tells me, we're going to do." Amen? Y'all ready for that? Power. Pray for the leadership here. Pray for your families. Pray for this community. Pray for all the churches. Can you imagine if there's an outpouring in every church? Across this nation. Not just like in Azusa and that part over here and then way over here. I said, let's get our hearts right before the Lord. You know, strife is one of the things that can just diminish what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Strife. Lord, remove that from our hearts if we want to do that. From each and every person. If we're going to stir up, let's stir up for the kingdom of God. What do you believe in the Lord for? For him to reveal his face to me. Reveal himself to me. Reveal himself to you all. To hear his voice clear. So we're going to have to shut up and pray. Shut all those things out in our life. Shut all the voices that we may hear, all the negativity that we may, that might come in and what have you. Shut it up. and pray. And pray with boldness. Pray with humility. Pray with confidence. And pray his word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's 2 weeks in a row, right? Two or three? Three? Oh, you were here when Isaiah was preaching. Okay. Keep it up. Now, sometimes when I say that, people don't show up after. Prove me wrong. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you are a good father that give good gifts to your children every time they ask. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's never asked you to be their Lord and Savior, Lord, you can do that right now. If you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. Just ask him. Receive him, what he's done for you on that cross. Believe in the name of Jesus. And if there's anyone here who's never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart right now, to come into your life, to fill you right now. In the name of Jesus, because you will not give them anything evil. You will not give them a different spirit. You will give them you, because you're a good father that gives good gifts to those who ask. Lord, I thank you for everyone here. When they pray according to your word, you hear them and you answer them. We just believe that in your name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, God bless you. Let's stand. If you will. Again, check the times. I'll post it tonight, this afternoon sometime. Before you leave, shake somebody's hand. Say hi. Some of the workers back there, if they're back there, give them a Pentecostal handshake, you know, put some money in there and just thank them for serving. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. Or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.